Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Monday evening. I am in New York City, where I attended the Brooklyn Nets media day today. Nothing happened there, don't worry. Joining us from New Orleans is Andrew Lopez, who attended the New Orleans Pelicans media day today. Nothing happened there, right, Andrew? No surprises?
Nothing at all. I don't even know why you asked me on this podcast, to be honest.
Yeah. Joining us from Oakland, California is Mark Spears. Mark went to the Golden State Warriors media day today. Mark, nothing happened there at all.
Nah, man, just some talk about some chowder.
We found out that Kyrie was not going to be appearing at Nets media day today because he was not compliant with COVID protocols in New York. I had to file a story. This is behind the scenes, I know, Durant was the first guy up at 10 a.m. And I wanted to be there for that. And so I like slid into like a seat in the back row, like 2 minutes before Durant came in. And I look over to my left and like 3 feet away from me is this guy with this, he's wearing a mask and it's this really bushy beard. But I did a double take real quick. And I was like, damn, that guy looks like David Letterman. And then I just went on and I was getting my stuff ready, getting my tape recorder going. And then this guy leans over and he goes, how you doing, David Letterman? Do you have a notebook? And I was like, hello there. No, I don't. I have a tape recorder. Very strange. In this job, we have the fortune of meeting and being around a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
But you don't expect... It just caught me way off guard. And the third question up, he stands up and asks Durant.
He stands up.
Yeah. You know, you could tell he wasn't used to being in the media. He stands up. And he asked Durant like three very lame joke questions. He obviously doesn't still have his writers from the late show.
Wasn't one about the Pelicans? About the Pelicans having
That was like his walk-off line. Do you laugh? Well, first off, I'm sure Durant knew he was going to be there. I'm sure the Nets told him.
Well, let's hope so.
I would hope so.
But Durant, I don't know if he was in on some joke that I will find out whenever this comes out, but Durant kind of dismissed him. And I don't blame him because the jokes were terrible. And then on his way out, he goes, when you guys play the Pelicans, do you laugh? And Durant was like, get out of here, Dave. He actually said that. And that was it. He left and went away. And then like an hour later, Blake Griffin came in and somebody said, hey, did you meet David Letterman? And he goes, David Letterman was here? He genuinely didn't know. And he finished answering a question. He's like, hey, wait a minute. What was David Letterman doing here? Like, Blake was totally unaware, but the whole thing was so bizarre. And here's the other thing. Like, the Kyrie news had just come down and like, I don't want to say it was like a tension-filled room, but there was like a pall cast over the media room. It was not an exciting moment. And so Letterman's cracking these jokes and like...
Wrong day.
Nobody in that room was interested in laughing.
I actually thought the second question was funny. The next question was funny.
What was the next question?
The next question was...
Oh, Knicks, the Knicks.
Will he play for the Knicks on off days? I actually thought that was funny.
That was the one where he said, get out of here.
Oh, okay.
He said, you're done, Dave.
That must have been part of some movie or something. Was there like some... Not that what we're talking about today, but I am intrigued by it.
No, there was a camera there to record it. But I don't understand. I don't know what it was for. So I guess we'll find out at some point.
Yeah.
Biff was nowhere to be found.
Okay.
So, Andrew, and we'll talk about the Nets and Kyrie in a minute. Andrew, you genuinely surprised me today when I read your tweet while I was sitting through Nets interviews. And what did you find out when you started your reporting today with David Griffin, the general manager of the Pelicans?
Yeah, so we were sitting in Pelicans media day. David Griffin starts at 10 a.m., just goes on for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden just drops a huge bomb right in the middle of his presser that Zion Williamson had foot surgery in the offseason. And that was one of the reasons why he wasn't around the team for some off-season activities. This injury happened prior to Summer League. And I remember him he wasn't at Summer League with the team where we could see him. He didn't attend any games. This would, I guess, explain at least part of that. And he said Zion is, you know, they are hopeful. They expect him to be ready for the regular season. Or he said they expect him to be, Willie Green said, hopeful. I asked Zion. Zion says, I will be ready. But it was a very weird just drop in the middle of a, you know, the start of your presser that, you know, your superstar just had, you know, surgery on his foot. So but apparently he will be ready for the season, but it definitely caught a few people off guard.
I mean, I'll take him for his word. I don't think that Zion has returned early from injuries in his career. And this is a big man with a foot injury. It's not good news. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's early season. If he misses a little bit of time, you know, it's not going to define the season, but it's another injury for him. And it means he wasn't able to stay in shape, in his playing shape during the summer. He said he didn't work with his teammates. I think, you know, they relocated to Nashville after the hurricane. Yeah. And you told me he wasn't in Nashville, right?
Right. So instead of doing informals in, you know, whatever destination city or the city that they're normally supposed to be in, the plan was to do informals in New Orleans. However, Zion had to, or was not in Nashville. They did in Nashville because of Hurricane Ida. And there was just a lot of uncertainty in the city. So they moved to Nashville basically for 2 weeks. They spent 1 week at Belmont, 1 week at Vanderbilt. And Zion was not there for that. And Griff says he was not there because he was dealing with the rehab for the foot.
The same in a city that definitely needs some good news right now. I mean, me and Drew really know this, but yep. Our family situations out there.
I got like some roof repairs right behind me. If you
exactly want to. Like to like bring this up on like media day, it had to be like, you know, crushing to the Pelicans Nation.
I will say this, in dealing with the family and dealing with the injuries, his family likes to keep things very, very, very private. Pure speculation. I would assume if he is going to have surgery on a foot, instead of saying something in July or August, you know, whenever this happened, all we were told it was pre-summer league. If we're going to be told this in August and hey, you know, he should be ready for the regular season. Well, the last time we had he should be ready for this date type situation, it was a 6 to 8 week timeline that turned into a 13 week timeline. So if this was the case, let him do his rehab, let him do everything he needs to do, and then go from there. By all accounts, he will be ready for the regular season. If not, you know, maybe it's a game or two, but you know, when I asked him, he said he's going to play in the first game. Obviously the team is using hopeful and should've, it should, and all this kind of stuff. But the timing was weird, but that is how the family likes to
handle things. I really want to say something right now, but it'll get me in trouble.
Yes, it will.
So I'm just going to say, it's not like we weren't going to know. This is one thing I don't always understand. I am not an NBA player. I have never had my knee surgery or ankle injury reported on publicly, so it's difficult for me to say it. It's not like it's going to stay secret. Yeah. And when you operate like this, especially in the air, I continue to say the NBA is completely in bed with the gambling establishment. Their owners are filing paperwork in every city they can to put sports betting in their arenas. You can't operate like this with this type of information. And I know they didn't play any games, but there were people who knew about this, and that gives them an advantage. And if you're going to play in and take the sports gambling money, you're going to have to play more fairly. That's one issue. The other issue is if you have to walk on water, or I mean, you know, walk on thin ice, I should say, it doesn't always indicate the strongest trust level of relationship, you know, with organization and player. So, but that's a little speculative on my behalf.
And then, hold on, Brian, if we let's assume that they did announce it back when it happened, you know, then certainly there would have been some questions, and maybe Griff does something over the phone with everybody. And then come media day, okay, now we know, we get to talk to him. It's a different vibe, right? Right. And like, oh, by the way.
I'm just saying, you know, Pelicans over-unders have been out there for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I keep saying this and nobody seems to be caring. Maybe I'm the crazy one. Somebody just knocked at my hotel room door. Hold on one second.
Winning is an everyday mindset. And on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
He's early, or you guys are late.
What's that?
Oh, look at this guy.
You guys able to be in the same room together?
Tim Bontemps, first time I've seen him since February 2020, right? At the All-Star game?
Yes. Chicago.
You're not on this podcast.
No, put him in. Why not?
No, he's not on this podcast.
Did you guys hug it out?
Yes, absolutely. He's allegedly taking me to some restaurant here in New York. All right. So Spears, in you were at Golden State Warriors Media Day today.
We picked the good ones, didn't we?
Yeah. A lot of stuff, a lot of interesting things happening there. I'd like to talk about Draymond Green being at the Rams game in LA yesterday and then taking several days off for personal reasons, but they're personal, so I'll just let that go. I suppose we should talk about Andrew Wiggins, it's in effect right now in New York, which is why Kyrie couldn't be there today. It is not effect yet in San Francisco, that because he is not compliant with the health and safety protocols of players in San Francisco, it's going to be an issue. So Spears, you were there for the back and forth he had with the media. Can you describe how that went?
It was a very interesting room. I mean, one, it was interesting because it was like the first time in a while that we've been in a room with the Warriors. You know, like Jordan Poole said he missed us and was happy to see us. Because, you know, you got to remember, we're doing all these things in Zoom. And so now we're finally back in the Chase Center, back in a room where we could talk to the players. All the media was masked. And then the unvaccinated guy had his mask off, which kind of put out an odd scenario, right? And, you know, it initially started with Wiggins basically saying, hey, this is a personal matter. Hope you guys can respect it. But there were a lot of, you know, journalists that were very inquisitive. And eventually, I think he decided he needed to talk and certainly kind of answer some of the questions, and it got a little tense in there because, you know, Wiggins was asked about missing games, which means missing money, and if he was okay with that. And he tersely told a reporter from basically, hey, that's not your money, so don't worry about it, you know. And then there was the, you know, well, the media does this, and you know a room never goes good with a—
That was an incredible line, because yeah. It's true. It's I mean, and so here's the thing is, last year when Kyrie violated protocol, somebody else had this happen too. Kyrie violated protocol. He got basically a sentence of quarantine. He lost some game checks. Happened with Harden too, but he didn't miss any games. Kyrie missed two games. He lost the game checks, $400,000 each. He also got fined from the NBA. So that was in the end. That was the NBA's rule that he violated, the NBA's protocols. This is San Francisco's protocols, but it's very clear that the NBA seems to be supporting this. So we don't exactly know that he's going to lose money, but it seems likely. Well,
yeah, I mean,
it seems likely that that's what's going to happen.
If in San Francisco's not playing, like the Bay Area is not playing, like I live. The town where I live in is 94% vaxxed, right? Like Bontemps used to live out here. Like that, this is a very educated, medical, respecting area of the country. And so then, like San Francisco, if you think about it, San Francisco was the first city that, and maybe Bontemps, you were gone by then, but before the Rudy Gobert incident, the Warriors actually were playing about to play the Nets in a game where no fans were going to be allowed to go. And that was going to be the first game in the early days of the American pandemic in which a professional franchise was not going to allow fans to be there, the San Jose Sharks. So anyways, basically what I'm saying is like, this is a tough city to not be vaccinated in. Can't go anywhere to eat without a vaccination card. And so there was a lot of tough questions for Wiggins, which he toward the end, it was starting to be a kind of a very tense room. I don't think anybody asked him any questions out of pocket, but you could tell that the emotions were starting to get high with him. And, you know, we even asked Steph about it later, about the possibility of Wiggins losing 41 games that he can't play in San Francisco. You got to remember, he can't play in Sacramento, can't play in L.A. either. Those
like, can't play in New York.
Yeah,
can't but like play in,
those are
maybe can't so play in Toronto, where he's from.
Yeah, so we're talking about Pacific Division games too. Like you're playing Sacramento twice in Sac, you're playing the Lakers and Clippers each twice. So that's 47 games right there. You add the Knicks, you add the Nets, you add Toronto, that's 50. You know, so like,
and that's assuming that there's no other cities that.
Yeah, that's just today. And then so Steph was asked about the thought of your starting small forward with Clay already being out, missing a tremendous amount of games. And you remember Steph has talked to Dr. Fauci too. Like did a IG live with Dr. Fauci. And he just said, hey, you know, that's not something he's excited about in the least. So you got a star in Steph who's been talking to Dr. Fauci. You got a fan base that certainly is pro-vax, super pro-vax. And you got a guy on the Players Association, vice president with Iguodala, who's kind of trying to be Switzerland with the whole thing.
Yeah, what did he say today? He said, I don't remember.
Iguodala was basically saying that he supports, you know, Wiggins, stands by his side, and will get him all the necessary.
He said he supports his values. That's what he said.
And he said he's a person of strong values. He supports his values, and he'll help him in any way possible. But,
that's the thing about, you know, a couple of things here. First off,
there's a lot there, right?
Yes, there's an interesting situation that's happened here that players in New York and San Francisco are having an extra burden placed on them that players in other places are not having. Now, depending on where you are in this debate, and something around like 90% of the league's players have been vaccinated, you don't think it's an issue at all. But there are other people who would say that this is really inequitable. Because Bradley Beal also came out in Washington today and very, you know, strongly backed up the fact that he's unvaccinated and doesn't want to be vaccinated. And I don't want to get into the medical stuff back and forth. This is not a medical podcast. But basically, you know, said some things that
you know, don't necessarily have mainstream medical support, you know, behind them. He is in Washington. He doesn't have the same, you know, he's not going to be able to play in New York. Or no, actually he will be able to because he's a visiting player. That's a different standard he has to apply, that he has to deal with in the same league. So in a way, you know, Kyrie and Wiggins were given a difficult hand that they are having to deal with. But this is also, there's laws in different cities. Players pay different tax rates in different cities. There's other, you know, in some places, marijuana is legal. In other places, yeah. It's not legal. I mean, that is the reality of you playing in 29 different markets. This just happens to be a very high profile situation. And the NBA's hands are tied. The NBA has already enacted rules that make it very tough to be unvaccinated. But in this case, it's not even, they're just, there's not much maneuverability they can have. And I don't see a way, the only thing that I can see, like, I'm sure that Kyrie has investigated different ways around this. I'm sure the lawyers have looked at this and see if there's some way to challenge it. The only other way around this, other than getting vaccinated, is to wait it out and hope that the cases go down. And that the will be repealed. I don't see another way around it, though. And I'm sure Wiggins, part of his frustration, which you could sense today, right, Spears?
Yeah.
You could sense his frustration is that why do I have to deal with this? Why is this my burden when this is not the burden of somebody who is playing in Houston or New Orleans?
Yeah, he and then there's the burden in the locker room where what if somebody, if he gets it and somebody else gets it, then the blame game starts, right? See, if you would have, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, because you still, I mean, shoot, I will tell you this, and I have not said this publicly. Like, I got COVID during the finals despite being vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the worst I felt was some slight chills. It was during the finals. I found out after game two. So I missed game three, four, and five. And it was basically 8 days in a hotel in Chicago, you know, because I ended up getting tested in Milwaukee, even though I was trying to hang out in Chicago before that game three. And it was very, very scary because, you know, look, I'm a tall guy. I'm not the skinniest guy in the world. And I did wonder if had I not been vaccinated, would I still be here? You know, I lost Sekou Smith, a dear friend of mine. I think about him all the time, and he didn't even have an opportunity to get this vaccine, you know? So when I hear Bill, who I love and respect as a person, as a player, been very accommodating to me, say, well, you know, well, if you get the vaccine, you know, you can still get it. Yeah, it saved my life. I feel like it saved my life. And I do think that I don't really believe that all your teammates are going to support you if you don't. And we're not talking about, you know, guys that are at the end of the bench. These are stars of the team that are playing big roles on these teams, star roles, starting roles that could have a major effect on whether this team wins a title or not, you know. Obviously, Washington doesn't, but they ain't nothing without Beal. You know, the Warriors already without Clay. To have Wiggins out is devastating to them because they do have high hopes.
I mean, I don't know if you don't play half the games and you are they, is he allowed? I don't know what the rules are. Is he allowed to practice?
No, he can't practice in San Francisco.
So how do you,
I don't even go into the facility. Like,
how do you operate I don't know how you, I don't, I mean, obviously they'd play him, but that's not tenable.
Yeah. So then you can't tell me it's not going to get tense between you and your teammates. Well, and they keep looking at you like, bro, like, come on, man. You know, how long does that support last?
Well, I know. I mean, Andrew, what did Griff say about today in New Orleans? It's a different situation down there. And I know you've had, I don't want to speak for you, but I know you've had some personal dealings with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had it. I had COVID before vaccines were available, and I got it as soon as I could. as did most of my family, you know, back when it started to get rolled out in March and April, when we asked Griff about it today. Now, New Orleans does have you have to be vaccinated or test negative in the previous 72 hours if you want to be anywhere in Orleans Parish, which includes, you know, fans for both the Superdome and the Smoothie King Center. Any sort of restaurant, you have to present your card or your negative test.
What about players? Does that include players?
Players just have to be, if you're not vaccinated, you just have to test negative. So as long as you were doing your normal testing protocols.
The NBA is doing that, yeah.
Right. So as far as the Pelicans themselves, we asked Griff about it. He said, to his knowledge, he believes there was one player for the Pels who didn't have it, possibly two, but he expected everybody to be vaccinated by the start of the season. The staff was vaccinated and things like that. But I mean, we had some players today, not even really prompted, I want to say, but I remember like Josh Hart mentioned like wanting to, you know, make sure people get masked up and vaccinated so we can, you know, get back to normal as soon as possible. But I think it's Mark was saying, it's a very sensitive subject for some guys. And at some point, I think once it starts affecting wins and losses for some of these guys, I think maybe some of these players are going to look at it a little bit differently. And kind of like how Steph mentioned today, like it's not acceptable, but you know, it's not an ideal situation to be missing your starting forward for 50 games. I mean, it's a difficult situation for players who are vaccinated once they have to, I think, start dealing with, you know, maybe some losses on the court.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So this brings back back to where I was at with the Nets today. To a man. So first off, it wasn't like this is coming to a head publicly in the last few days, but these teams have known about this ever since these came out. The Warriors were well aware that Wiggins was hesitant and knew in the weeks leading up to this. And now the public knows, but trust me, the situation existed. Same thing in Brooklyn. And last week, Sean Marks gave a press conference and he said, we have a couple, I think the term he used was a couple. He said, obviously you have a couple of guys. And I was like, is it obvious? It's obvious until you say it. But he said, we have a couple of guys who are not compliant right now, but we hope everybody's going to be by the start of the season, the start of camp. And today they only had one guy, and that was Kyrie. So that means that there was players, multiple, I don't know if I want to say that. There were guys who last week were not compliant. One, at least one player was not compliant. Who was. So the law, you know, forced that player/players to go forward and do that. That is what the NBA is trying to enforce. And, you know, if in fact that Kyrie is unvaccinated, and I don't want to say for sure he's not, I just will say he's not compliant. You know, he was able to travel with the team out to San Diego today, and they're going to have training camp out there. And he is allowed to practice. The law isn't in effect out there yet. He's allowed to play the Lakers on Sunday if he wants to, if they're going to play him on Sunday in an exhibition game. You know, by the letter of the NBA law, he's supposed to not be able to fly in the same cabin with the rest of his vaccinated teammates. Do we honestly, I mean, I don't know. Do we honestly believe Kyrie sat in the back of the plane today? I don't know.
He sat with the team radio guy all the way in the back.
Yeah, I don't know which plane they used, but, you know, in the standard NBA planes, that would be the case. I wonder, you know, his teammates right now are all lined up in support of him, and they're all like, you know, Durant said, this is going to get taken care of. We're not worried about it. He's going to be out there. Kyrie said some crazy quotes today, if you ask me. I mean, he mostly didn't speak on it, but he said, you know, we can't have any distractions. We have to have the hyper-focus. We can't have any distractions. I was like, what? And then he was like, I'm going to, in fact, I want to get this quote exactly right. I do not want to mess this up because I almost couldn't believe that he said this. He said, let me get this right. I'm going to be out there as much as I possibly can. He says, I know I'm going to be there every day, no matter what, just be present for my teammates as one of the leaders on this team. How do you know that? You don't know that. This is what was so frustrating about him saying, you know, privacy. I mean, I get the privacy about whether you got the vaccine or not. I completely understand that. But when you say I'll be there every day for my team, we can't have distractions, and then you absolutely are not going to be there. It's day one and you're not there. It's day one that's a distraction. I'm like, what? So I wonder if that's going to get frustrating for the teammates, especially teammates who had the same hesitancy or similar hesitancy and said, you know, I've got to make a business decision. And then there's this other thing hanging out there, which it's easy to forget. Kyrie is negotiating a contract extension right now, and so is James Harden. And I asked Harden about it today, and then Kyrie did get asked by someone else about it. Neither one of them have signed it. And if you're the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie is eligible for, earlier this summer, Durant signed a 4-year extension, $200 million. Kyrie is eligible to sign a 4-year extension right now. And it's for $160 million. And that's relevant because if he doesn't sign his extension, he can be a free agent next summer. So this is an important thing.
Meanwhile, Durant's locked in.
Right. Durant's locked in. And Durant is compliant. He's there today. And I'm thinking and I understand that if you're signing a player like Kyrie to 4-year extension, you're not worried about this particular bump in the road. But how can you sign a guy to an extension? How can you say, here's $160 million when this is happening to your organization? And I was talking to an agent today. Well, I just can't say this. I want to say it. I just can't.
Nah, don't get yourself in trouble. I'm going to stop you.
I will say this. The Nets organization has shown an incredible patience with Kyrie.
Yeah.
And it is probably, there's a good chance it can be rewarded because they have a team that very well could win it all. And then you're going to forget about all this. But Spears,
well, today,
today is the day, you know, and like, I couldn't get a question into Kyrie. One of the questions I wanted to ask him was, do you even want a contract extension? The way he talks about his interest level in the game and everything. Now, today he was talking about building a team for a long time, so my guess is he would say yes. But can you as the organization, under the current circumstances, say, here's $160 million, Kyrie, even though it's the best decision, you know, for your team? I don't know how you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, he's elite talented. He's elite.
That's why he's there.
I mean, if you have that power when you're that good, and he is that good, you also can't lose him for nothing. So, like, when I look at the Denver situation, right, I look at Porter being signed, Gordon being signed, like all the money, somebody getting traded there at some point, man. But they have the assets.
Yeah, Michael Porter Jr. Signed a max contract today.
Yeah, so they'll figure the rest out later. But they got the assets. And so I think Kyrie is on a much higher level than those two guys are in Denver. So you have to play the business game. You have to get them to sign. And then I think both sides figure the rest out later.
Yeah. So, and then I asked Harden about it because Harden is in an interesting situation. He can sign a 3-year contract extension for, let me get what Bobby Marks told me today. I don't want to get it wrong because he knows everything. So right now, if Harden wanted, by the way, it's $482 million for Kyrie. I think I said that wrong. He could sign for $482 million. Harden right now could sign for $361 million. He has this year on his contract and a player option for next year. So he could add three and have a 5-year contract. If Harden plays this season out and signs a whole new contract, not an extension, a whole new contract, he like cut like Kawhi just did for the Clippers. Kawhi said some weird stuff today, but we're just not going to be able to get to it. We'd have to save it for later in the week when five times.
Well, I don't even know this.
We just don't have room. It does. There's lots of stuff happened today. We just can't get to it all. Yeah. So Kyrie could sign a 5-year, $242 million contract next year if he doesn't extend right now. And Harden could sign a 5-year, $250 million plus deal. So the difference between signing now for Harden, $361 million versus $5 and $250 million. So I asked James this exact thing today. It's a huge amount of money difference if you don't extend now. And obviously, if you don't extend now, you open up the possibility he's going to be a free agent. Now, I don't think he's going anywhere, but we're talking about a free agent class next year that would be Zach LaVine and a bunch of role players. What happens if Kyrie and Harden potentially are on the market? This is an important thing. And Harden said, I'm not worried about money. I have money. If you win in New York, money will come. I think that there's a big difference between $160 million and $250 million. But those are hanging over the Nets right now. And so they got to deal with these situations. And when Sean Marks, the GM, signed Durant, which was a great moment for their organization, locked him in, he said, I hope to have these two done by the start of training camp. Training camp started. They're not done. And Harden and Kyrie said they're talking, but neither one of them sounded like they were ready to sign.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think it's more money. It makes more sense if they wait it out.
Yeah.
And so it just – it increases – you know, it turns the heat up on this. You know,
like how do you think Durant feels?
Well, KD was as cool as a cucumber today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for everything the Harden's been through, I think he's staying there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if they don't extend, they're, you know, one of the things that Kawhi said today was if I had done another 1+1 deal, another, you know, 1 year plus player option instead of the four year deal he said, I wouldn't have been able, maybe been able to play this season. Because he would have felt too much pressure on the injury. And with the 4-year contract, he feels more protection on the knee, which was interesting thinking because it's the inverse of the way he's operated in the past. But again, it's another story. It's still the contract extension issues to me are a very important thing for the Nets. Not as important as what they do on the court this year and go for a championship, but to me, it's a very important thing for them to get done. Not only because it locks them in, but it locks them in at less money, which gives them more flexibility. And it also takes off the possibility that something goes sideways this year. And all of a sudden these guys say, I don't want to be here. So there's a lot riding on that team right now, as good as they are. And one other thing I want to point out that Durant said that I would have written a story about if like this is the thing, so much happened with this vaccine stuff. I could barely get the contract stuff in. I had to like force it into the bottom of my story and in the back end of these shows I was doing on ESPN today. LaMarcus Aldridge comes out and gives this, you know, sort of long tale about how he got himself into a place where he could feel comfortable playing with his heart condition. It's an incredible multi-layered like story. And like, we couldn't get to it.
he didn't even jump past David Letterman probably.
No. David Letterman was much higher on the board. And so Durant says something today that I thought was interesting, which I liked. Somebody asked him about, did you feel like, you know, when you saw the Bucks win the title, that if you had just been an inch behind the line, that two was a three, that you would have maybe won the title? And Durant was like, hell no. He's like, do you see what I had to do in that series? I had to play every minute of every game. He's like, do you think I could have done that for two more series? Actually, by the way, I think he might have been able to. He's like, hamstring injuries don't get better that fast. You think James is all of a sudden going to get miraculously better in the next round? He basically was like, which, you know, the reason I'm going, you know, I hate the concept that there's an asterisk attached to any title. So him saying this, you know, this is, he's preaching to a choir on this. I'm like, you know, damn right. That was one thing he said that I thought was a really important thing that I was like, yeah, Kevin, I agree with you. I don't think you guys would have won if you were 100% healthy, you know, but Kyrie was nowhere close to returning and James was limping. So but we can't even get to that. Because it's really just all about what's sitting on the tee for the Nets right now, Spears.
Yeah, and unfortunately in this league, this is going to be the storyline. This is going to be the headline. This is going to dominate. And it is what it is, right? No, it's yeah. I guess the interesting thing is going to see is how much fight do these guys have in them. And we're also going to find out soon who the other guys are that perhaps because of the cities they're in didn't get, I guess, exposed. I don't know if that's the right word yet, you know, but
maybe not the right word for this.
Yeah. That are going to, you know, when they go to San Francisco, suddenly they're not playing. When they go to
New York, the visiting teams are allowed to play. The other thing is New York, you only need one shot. San Francisco, you need to have them both. And I would assume that you would have to be 2 weeks off your second shot for you to be qualified. Unless, I guess, I don't know if they accept the Johnson & Johnson shot.
Yeah.
But even if Wiggins had a change of heart in a week or 2 weeks, it might take some time to him to be qualified. Well, but yeah.
I mean, I guess in his, hey, look, I can't speak for him, but I wonder if he does do it, he just gets to Johnson & Johnson and just says, all right, I'm ready. Let's go.
Now, I think there were some people who that happened to, you know, in the last couple of days. And that's what that's what they're trying to get to. Before we go, Lopez, I wanted to say something. I wanted to have you talk about what Zion actually said besides his foot injury today, where he, you know, there had been some rumors that have popped up in the offseason. There was a story in the New Orleans newspapers last week about Zion's relationship with David Griffin, the general manager. There was a comical anecdote that David Griffin, in an effort to charm Zion Williamson, played him a song on the piano.
Yes.
Which is funny. And what did Zion say about that today?
He finished the press conference today with a little joke about that. And he's like, guys, if you think I'm going to let a grown man come and play piano for me in my hotel room, you got another thing coming. And then he just walked off the stage.
I do like the concept of there being a knock on Zion's door and he opens it up and it's Griff and he's holding a Sony, you know, one of those like giant keyboards under his arm and just sit over there. I have something I want.
Yeah. I did see Rick Carlisle once play the piano unexpectedly at Harrison Barnes' wedding.
Mm. Like that humble brag nonsense?
No, it was just, it was odd.
What did he play?
I don't remember the song that he played, but I know that he went up to Harrison and his now wife, Brittany, and he had a wedding in Rhode Island, and there was a piano there. He's like, hey, guys, you know, they have a schedule. You know, you're married, right? Like, there's a schedule. And he just walked up and he goes, hey guys, I'm gonna play a couple songs, okay? They're like, sure. And he just went to the piano and started playing a couple songs. Then after that, he got up. And
was there a DJ or a band that he was usurping?
No, he just, it was solo.
Did he sing? Did he sing or did he just play?
I think he sang too.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of it, he said, I want Harrison's North Carolina family to stand up. I want his Warriors family to stand up. I want his Dallas Mavericks family to stand up. And so, it was, you know, it was like I thought he was the host for a while. And then I talked to Harrison about it later. He's like, no, that was a surprise. They didn't know he was going to do all that. Wow. But he told him that he does that at weddings. Like Carlisle does that. Does like impromptu gift entertainment with Planet Piano.
I have a gift for you. Here it is. I really want to find out what songs he played. I'm by the next podcast, I will know what songs he played. That's my promise to you.
Yeah, that's HB. HB will tell you. I'm sure he remembers.
No, I'll just go. I'll just ask Rick.
Oh, he definitely remembers.
It's his repertoire. His
I mean, he was good. He was surprisingly good. It was just, you know, kind of caught us by surprise too.
Did you put some bread in his jar?
No. Nah, he makes enough money.
Yeah, you're right about that. So, Andrew, but before we go, Zion, yeah. In sort of an effort, I guess, to beat back any a concept of his unhappiness, he kind of, in my mind, it was the most strong love letter he's given to New Orleans. I don't know if you would agree with that, but could you brief us out on that real quick?
Yeah, here's the quote itself, and he did the same thing he did in Madison Square Garden, where he's like, I'm glad you asked me that question.
That's not a good thing. That means that he was pre-thinking about that Madison Square Garden thing
before going into it. And what Zion said was, I love it here. I love the city of New Orleans. I don't want to be anywhere else. To the his sources on this were per Zion Williamson on these. He added that little part in there. He added, it's all love with me and Griff. We're both competitors. We both want to win. Do we disagree on some things? Yes, but no one agrees on everything. Bringing up the disagreement on the original timeline for his return from the knee injury during his rookie year, when he had kind of mentioned before publicly that I think he wanted to come back a little bit sooner than what he did. He didn't necessarily like.
Yes, and keep that in mind as he declares he intends to play on opening night with that broken foot. All right, go on.
Mentions the, you know, he didn't like the burst that he was playing in, the 4-minute burst that we all remember, the San Antonio game, his opener where he hits the 4 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. The place is going wild. The roof's about to blow up.
But it's more than just that, Andrew, because he also wanted them to keep Lonzo Ball, among other things, right?
Mentioned Lonzo Ball today. I asked him about that, about bringing in, you know, losing Lonzo. And he said, you know, look, he had to go get his money and go do that. So good for him to be able to go to Chicago. But the statement today was probably the strongest, I guess you could say that it was the strongest statement he had made on the city itself and on the team, probably since his rookie season, when there was the, if he wanted to be here at all or all that kind of stuff. So for him, I think it was a strong statement. I don't know, you know, I'd like to see some action before, but, you know, we'll see how far this goes.
Yeah, right. Well, he can't, his statement will be made.
There's only so much he can do right now until next summer.
But I think it's relevant to point out. So he said that. Okay, well, we got to a lot of stuff. We didn't get to it all, but we'll have another podcast.
Who's the starting point guard for the Pelicans?
We will find out. I don't think that's set in stone just yet. It might be Devontae Graham. I'm hoping it's Nikhil Alexander-Walker so I can win a bet against Zach Lowe. But it could be Devontae. Could be.
What are the other terms of the bet?
I believe it is a beer. I don't drink, so I don't know what my terms are yet. So I'll
guess Zach intends to win.
Yeah. So I'll figure it out. And I doing some talking today. I feel strongly that I feel a little bit more strong that Zach might win. I'm still going to hold on.
Well, they paid Graham the money. So I know that they drafted, you know, Griff drafted Nikhil Walker, but Nikhil Alexander Walker. But okay.
You know what? It could be both of them. We'll find out.
Oh, that'd be an interesting decision. Okay. Thanks, Spears. Thanks, Andrew. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. We're back to the two podcast a week because we got a lot to talk about. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later this week.
Sure.
enjoy New York, man. Tell Tim I said what's up.
I'll be out of here in the morning.
All right.
In and out. All right. Take care, guys.